الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر قد بينا لكم الآيات إن كنتم تعقلون ها أنتم أولئك تحبونهم ولا يحبونكم وتؤمنون بالكتاب كله. We heard of stages in Surah Kahf and 5 points on how we can seclude ourselves and save ourselves from the fitna of Dajjal, which is all around us. In any contest, World Cup is coming soon. So in World Cup, nobody bothers about the first round and second round. The important part is the semi-finals and the finals. Because that's actually which is the clinching point. That's what everyone is worried about. Here in these points which were mentioned, one of the points which was the clinching point is this. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا Don't follow those people whose hearts we have made completely devoid of our remembrance. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُهُ Worship their desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا Whatever they do is extreme. Whatever they do is indecent, it's unbecoming. Don't follow such people. And if we will follow such people, then the definite consequence of that is we won't be proud about our Islam. The only time a person will be proud of his deen is when he sympathizes with everybody else and feels them sorry that they are deprived of this great gift of Iman, Islam, Quran and Sunnah. So what I wish to speak about this, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا There are many. And the categories differ. There are those people who are in Hollywood, Bollywood, in the industry of movies, film making. They are musicians. And these are all people who have attracted others, their hearts, their minds. A person will look in the newspaper, he wants to find out more about them. He wants to read up on their lives. Whereas their lives are filthy lives, dirty lives. No reality behind it. Sometimes it will happen to be some porn star, some absolute filth. But that attracts a person. And a person is pulled towards such people. Allah is warning us. Sometimes it will be governments of the world. It will be secularists. It will be scientists. It will be people who seem to be outwardly such great intellectuals. But their hearts don't have the remembrance of Allah. There is a veil over their brains. So when they think, they are very intelligent with regards to the things of the world. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Some outward aspects of dunya they know and understand. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ But then there is a veil which blocks them from seeing further anything beyond that. There is one life of akhirah. What did you come in the world for? How are you living? How did your life body come into existence? All of these are included. And this is one group of people. A large portion of the ummah in the world will go towards this. To follow their every teaching. And to believe whatever they say, this is so to say gospel truth. We don't like to say gospel truth, it's Quranic truth. Whatever Quran says is absolute. But there is one fitna which many of us, which we ourselves in our young days were also involved. And many of us were involved. And it looked to be not something so serious. Outwardly from outside it seems like there's no harm in this. And that was the fitna of sport. Because sport outwardly looks like it's just a game. Kicking a ball around, hitting a ball with a bat. What can be the problem with that? Fi nafsihi, we all know and we say, ya fi nafsihi jai. So what's the problem? Why would anybody have an issue with sport? Shaitan's one trick and his one method of working is he brings out something as part of his trap which outwardly looks so simple and normal, something which looks so innocent. Just like when we have that rat in our houses. and we put something which looks so tasty and so lovely. And the rat thinks there can never be anything behind this. But when the rat takes a bite, then suddenly the trap goes over his throat. Where it started from was one piece of cheese. Where it led to was its absolute destruction. In sport, Shaitan has laid out such a net that will capture a person and take him from where it started, just a game of soccer in your backyard. It led to finally a person's relationship with Allah deteriorating, and as we will explain where it can lead to finally. This sport, now we all are, many of us are aware, inshallah majority not, but many of us are aware that the World Cup is coming. And World Cup is an event which across the world, people from different backgrounds all unite. But they don't unite on the Book of Allah. They unite on something which makes them unmindful of Allah. Khamar is that which وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Gambling, يَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. And amazing, no sport is free of these two things. Every sport has these two things as part of its necessary components. Just like that, just sport and following sport, international sport, has the very same effect. يَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. So we'll think, but I won't get diverted. I'll make sure. But really, really, if a person has to take a look deep down in his heart, when a person is standing in front of Allah during the World Cup, after just having heard commentary, not even watching it on a TV, but I ask you, when he stands in front of Allah, is he speaking to Allah or is he discussing the World Cup in his heart? Every kick that was kicked, every shot that was made. One imam in one masjid in India, one day there was a certain mutawalli used to go to different masjid. So he came to one masjid and the imam made salam. India cricket is a very big thing. The imam made salam. And as he made the second salam, he just turned around in Gujarati. He said, "What's the score?" So the mutawalli is telling, you know, he doesn't always come to the masjid. So he said, "Before I tell you the score, I just want to tell you, you're fired. What kind of salah you perform? You led us here, but your whole salah, instead of reciting Quran, you were pondering over what? Over that soccer player. Over one idol." And amazingly, the kafir world, and we speak about this here, how they have attached sport to idol worship, idolatry. And amazing how the words that they used, you think, what connection does it have to idolatry? But slowly and surely they brought us finally till there. So the first step Shaitan did, يَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. This then leads to a Muslim becoming unmindful of whatever is happening in the world. Muslims are being tortured. How many of our sisters are being raped? How many Muslims have been killed? The same countries who we love so much. England was always a favorite of so many people in soccer, and the English Premier League was the norm and everyone loved it as if there was something so great in it. Those same people are the ones who went country to country in the entire world. They took over those countries. They colonized it. They killed all the people who stood for deen or else locked them up. They spread their traps in those countries. They made those countries secular. They made them anti-God. They made them anti-religious. And they left those countries. How many of the scholars of Islam were killed by that same country? Today when the queen dies, that is not something, yes, if a Muslim feels sorry for her, I wish she had embraced Islam. But today when the feeling comes, maybe not so much now with the queen, years ago I was young, Princess Diana died, and it was a big thing in the world. Allah alone knows best what was the end condition in her life. But Maulana Fazlur Rahman made one very interesting point at that time. I wasn't in madrasa, I heard it from others. At that time, a lot of discussion, Muslim, non-Muslim, Muslim, non-Muslim. As long as a person doesn't openly announce the Islam, according to us, they are not Muslim. By Allah, what her condition is, Allah alone knows best. That's not in our control. Whatever is there by Allah, we have great hope. But that's the most we can have. So Maulana Fazlur Rahman says, everyone is trying to prove her a Muslim because it's a pretty face. Queen, she's too old now, so nobody was bothered about her. She goes, that was a pretty face, so everyone enjoy. Hey, maybe, hopefully. Khair, whatever the case was, what happened? When Muslims are being tortured, Muslims are being hurt. Muslims are being put through so much. What did Hollywood do for the Muslim Ummah? It just diverted our gaze. And the same people who enter into our Muslim homes and rape our sisters and mothers, and the same people who were behind the killing of so many Muslims and making children into orphans, the same people who did such great atrocities. What happened? What was Guantanamo Bay? What was all the things which happened in the last few years? And before that, from ever, this nation for years and years have been out against Muslims. We make dua, Allah guide them to the truth of Islam. And it's nothing far-fetched. Look at how the who was this? Who embraced Islam? The Mongols. They moved through the Muslim world. They killed, they massacred. And Allah blessed them with Iman. And Allah made them the champions of Islam. Nothing far-fetched. But till that stage, this does not give us any license to love them. Now what happens? Our attention is diverted. We forgot about what's happening in the Muslim world. And our attention is turned towards them with love. We look up towards them. We desire to be like them. What the kuffar world did is they took us away from anything which was beneficial. I came across one quotation, the 13 protocol of the elders of Zion. This was written maybe some 100, 150, maybe even 200 years ago. Finally, in the early 1900s, it was leaked out. Maybe it was done purposely also because they wanted the world to understand what kind of control we will establish in the world. And this is one complete Dajjali system. The elders of the Zion were a Dajjali army. And their work in the world was to establish a Dajjali system everywhere. They had points which we wish to achieve over the next few years, over the next 50 years, 100 years. They wrote there, in order to keep the masses misguided and unaware of what is ahead of them and what is behind them. You forget your history. You're not looking towards your future. And to make them unaware of what is plotted against them, we will increase ways of keeping them busy by establishing new forms of entertainment, fun, games, and different sports. Then we will have the newspapers call for contests and tournaments of these. It wasn't long after that the television came, and the television was the biggest da'i. And everyone in the world, where sports was never given so much attention, besides by the Greeks, who did it only to please their false gods. Never in the history of the world was sports given attention as it was given today. The objective was this, that man will be made unaware of what is his objective. What happens is we become calm. This is only the first step. This is the first thing which sports did to us. But it wasn't the end of it. Then sports made us love these people. We loved them so much that our hairstyles turned like them. Now, I remember when we were young, there was a World Cup. There was one famous soccer player, Ronaldo. Lucky we're not in the masjid yet, so I can take his name at least. Ronaldo went to the barber, and the barber made a mistake, an honest mistake. And he cut his hair wrong. So for some reason, there was one patch here in the front of his head. That year, when the World Cup happened, half the world had patches on their head. It was a serious mistake, sincere, but the man did it mistakenly, came out in the newspapers. But the world followed, because Ronaldo did it. So I also have to follow in the same. Look at how, whereas a Muslim was supposed to look at Allah's Rasul, a Muslim was supposed to look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those who are our guys, those are leaders, those are real people. We don't want to speak about these people's lives because there's nothing to speak about it. It's drinking, womanizing, filth, dirt, in the worst of manners. These people have nothing to present to society besides one skill which is completely unproductive. That's all that they gave. So this is what happens now. At that time, when this happens, a person begins to love them, then a person will even be ready to put their name on his back. Look at soccer kits. At big prices we'll pay for it. And what we'll put on our backs is that which nobody would have ever imagined. I laugh. Somebody can actually put kaka on his back. This is now, how would a person put this here? If 50 years ago you had to tell somebody right on your back, kaka. You say, are you mad or something? Is something wrong with you? But today he's proud. The boy is running around. I am kaka. Wait, one guy is Messi. Now a person puts Messi on his back. You Messi, and you proud about it. A person became proud of following people who have no human qualities whatsoever. The only thing they know is to kick a ball. As Imam Abdul Hamid Sahib says, and this is the next point, how much of the ummah's capabilities, how much of the ummah's money, how much of the ummah's efforts are all wasted now in one sport which we fell in love with. Our millions of people's hours go by unproductive just watching a match. As Imam Abdul Hamid Sahib says, he said, you want to understand really what soccer is, take out everything else. Soccer is, you have 22 people, or 22 monkeys, 11 on this side, 11 on that side, all chasing one pigskin to get it between one pole on that side or one pole on that side. Today one friend of mine told me, he said one in India, they don't know about soccer. Soccer is not common there. So some years after the freedom of India, and India was given their independence, so in one certain village they decided to have a soccer match. Because again, following England, they were affected by England. So they had a soccer match. After the soccer match, the person who was in charge of that area, like what you say, that the governor of that area or somebody who was in charge, he gave a speech. So he said in his speech, he said, it's really sad that we have not even managed to help our nation to that extent. He said it sincerely, he really believed it. We haven't even given them that much that we could buy one ball for each player. Now 22 of them have to run behind one ball, each one trying to take it. He never understood the concept of the game. What happens? How much unproductivity? How much wastage of money? This World Cup we're talking of. $22 billion in Qatar. $22 billion of the Muslim world. When we know that there are people in Syria and in the borders of Syria who don't get one roti to eat in every 3 days. There are people who don't have one glass of milk to drink in weeks. There are people who are drinking dirty water to please the call of the non-Muslim countries. The Muslim Ummah will put all of their finances, they will put all of their efforts into a sport which brings out nothing. One person wrote so nicely, he said, billions are extracted from the public just for the privilege of watching 22 people carrying out an unproductive skill. Thing which can't benefit anyone. A person is a doctor, he does he helps somebody, he treats somebody, the person gets benefit. A person is a shopkeeper, he sells him milk, the person gets benefit. A person is a sports player. How has he given to the ummah anything? Nothing is given. Unproductive, but yet so much effort put behind it. Harun al-Rashid is famous. One person came to him in his court and he said, I managed to achieve a great skill. He said, what's that? He said, I'll take a pen from here, and in front of me I'll have 10 small little circles, the heads of a pen. And from here I will throw it and it will go through every one of those 10 and come out on the other side. Each one at a slight distance away. This is my achievement. He said, how many years it took you to achieve this? He said, 10 years. So Harun al-Rashid said, give him 10 silver coins, 10 dirhams. He came for some money, that's why he came to show me. So give him 10 silver coins and give him 10 lashes. He said, what's the 10 lashes for? He said, 10 silver coins for your achievement, 10 lashes because you wasted 10 years of your life doing something which benefited nobody. This is sport, really of no benefit. But what I was saying is that this is just the first stage. This we'll speak about, we understand. You watch a soccer match, you see the aura of a player. Isn't that haram to see their aura? Isn't it haram to look at their knees? And today, Allah protect, Allah save the ummah. But now as women soccer teams come in, and women cricket teams come in, and this becomes the big thing, and Muslim countries are for it, and they're trying to send their female players. What a mockery of a nation that a person cannot even understand. My wife, my daughter can't run around like this. One friend of ours here from the madrasa was telling us, he was saying when his wife was from Afghanistan and she came from one of the villages, when she came to the airport, she was shocked. First time in her life she ever saw an airport. She said, she asked him, you tell me these people don't have fathers or something. They don't have brothers. There's nobody to get for them clothing. How can somebody dress like this? It was beyond her understanding. To me anyway, it has become normal. But this is now just the first step. The booze, the zina, the prostitution. What and what evil goes with it? But this is just the outside. Shaitan doesn't stop at these outward sins. He goes one step further. After he made us love them, he emotionally affected us to the extent they became ours. So you'll walk outside a masjid And you see the youngsters and they say, "We warn you! We!" So you say, "We," meaning my team, "we." What he did, whereas Allah told us, "We is only the Muslims," he made that team his part. He made him part of that team. They didn't pay him 1 cent. They didn't do anything good for him in this ayat of Quran which I recited. Allah says, don't take them as bosom friends. They hate you. And you love them. What an amazing kind of friendship. We love them so much. But if they had to see us dressed like how we are dressed today, they'll turn their faces away. Perhaps they may spit in our faces. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ Allah warns, if you hold their love in your heart and you befriend them, then you will also be from amongst them. So emotionally attached people got. I read one article. There was a certain person. This article came out in the Egyptian newspaper, An-Nasir. A person who owned a rubber manufacturing company. And this person was the owner of the company. He was an avid supporter of a team. That team, in their match while playing, scored a goal. He was watching on TV with his family in Egypt. He stood up and kissed every member of his family and he was jumping up and down. And many people do this. Then the opposing team scored a goal. He felt sad. Then they scored the second goal. So emotionally affected he was that he went now from there to his bedroom. He said, "I'm feeling sick." His wife came to the room only to find that he had a heart attack. He died. This is the effect that a sport, a game has had on people. So we also get affected. Maybe inshallah this won't happen. But how many arguments take place in the boarding? My team, your team. No, we did this. And how many times we are criticizing the coaches as if we're part of the game. That coach is an idiot. He doesn't know. He should have put this player on. He should have done that. He should have tried this. And all just imagination. All just fantasy. How many people make their own teams? My fantasy team. This guy from that age, that guy from that age. And I got my fantasy team and I'm looking at them. They will never play together. Half of them are dead. And what we managed to get out of it? Nothing but love of the enemies of Allah. But then it went one step further. The shaitani world brought in, and shaitan wanted this, that finally he could bring in occult, symbolism, shaitaniyat, worship of the devil. So, World Cup originally had a cup. Who was holding this cup? Who was the figure in the cup? It was one Greek goddess we heard about many a time. Her name was Nike. With her swoosh, her swan wings, they made her famous in the world through a sports brand. What made the sports brand so famous and important? Because it was a sports brand. Thus, Nike was on the World Cup. And for many years, almost from about 1930 till about 1970s, Nike featured on the World Cup. It was regarded as the greatest honor to hold up Nike in front of everyone. To everyone else in the world who are unaware, they say, "What's the problem?" But to somebody who knows, he understands, he's hitting on his tawheed. Mm-hmm. Nike became part of our clothing. So a person will wear Nike also. And he won't even feel shy, "I'm standing in front of Allah in Salat." This is something which is, it's beyond, it's already past. Many people are still asking the question, really, is Nike symbolic of that Greek goddess? That anybody will tell you in the world, anyone who knows anything about Nike, even the Nike people themselves. What was the origin? What was the thing in the beginning? She is the goddess of success. She'll make us win our matches. She was part of the World Cup also. Later on it changed. Now Atlas stands with the world above him. Another Greek god or another Greek figure. Greek mythology became normal today. And the person wonders. And you look around. The Olympic Games. In the Olympic Games the fire is lifted. And a Muslim will carry it around the entire field. And I will make sure, a person will carry it around the field, holding it above his head, to make sure the fire of Shaitan will always be superior to man. And to make sure that the fire will never go out, man will serve the fire. Man will serve Shaitan. How many of these games are full of symbolism? The Illuminati, the Shaitani powers in the world have made sure that their picture, their satanic symbols are everywhere. In teams we have the cross. We have Portugal. Portugal and Brazil both hold one cross which was called the cross of the order of Christ. It was the greatest honor if the Pope would grant this to somebody. Nobody could give this cross besides the Pope. And the Pope would call special meetings. Only if he's there, this cross could be given to anyone. A Muslim wears a cross on his chest. In the beginning, it was a non-Muslim's name. Then it became a cross on his chest. Then in other teams, Barcelona, England, they had a different cross. This was the St. George's cross. This cross symbolized what? This was the special cross of the Knights Templar, the biggest Shaitani force in the world. And these were the people who entered into the Muslim world to take from there whatever it had. The main magicians of their era. These were the biggest Shaitans of that time, and they were behind the entire Crusades. When the first stage of the Crusades happened, and that was in Spain, the Western Crusades, they came into Barcelona. It was the first city to be conquered from the Muslims. Muslims were taken and they were burnt because they were not ready to be baptized. Masjids were turned into stables. This was the emblem with which they celebrated. This became Barcelona's cross, Barcelona's sign that the cross here reigns supreme over Islam. And me and you, we're ready to put it. Then there was the red devils. A person holds Shaitan on his heart and he says, I'm ready to even put him here. Manchester United is a common thing. Everyone knows the devil is there. But what happens? A person's mind doesn't go in that direction. Somebody says, what if I don't know? What if somebody doesn't know? Then I don't understand there to be a problem. So if we don't know, and once we found out, then we must stop. If we don't know, once we realize, we must give it up. Even if we don't understand, it doesn't make it right. Many a time things are not understood. We can put ourselves in big trouble. One friend of mine a few days ago, he shared with us an incident. He said some woman went touring to another country, foreign country. And they passed by a dairy. And there was a very interesting looking sign, a logo on the dairy. So they took a picture of it and they went to a local printer. And they said, we want the sign to be printed on our t-shirt. So it was whatever was written was in a foreign language. They didn't understand. So it was written, printed on their t-shirt. And then as they're walking around, they see everyone who's walking past them is laughing. Woman, four women, and all wearing this t-shirt with it right on their chest. So they were surprised. Everyone's asking. Everyone is laughing. So after a while, they stopped one person. They say, can you please tell us, what's your problem? Why are you laughing at us all of the time? So he said, it's written here on your t-shirt, free milk available here. We don't understand what's written. You can put yourself in big trouble. Save ourselves from shaitaniyat. The next step is that it led people into direct Satan worship. In England, sometime recently, a goat or sheep was taken on the field before the match and it was slaughtered in the name of Shaitan. People, they complained about this to the head of FIFA or the head of the European League. I'm not sure exactly who he complained to. That person replied, he said, well, every team have the right to follow their own tradition. If they wish to follow, I can't do anything about it. The person, so these were animal groups which were protesting. They said in public, so many supporters were there, you slaughtered an animal in the name of who? In the name of obviously Shaitan. They said, unfortunately, we can do nothing. I'm sorry, I don't think I'll be able to do anything about it. Khair, maybe that was a once-off incident. But it doesn't just stop there. It goes from stage to stage till finally soccer and sport became an idol. One person actually said this. One footballer, he wrote, he said, if you're giving to football what you give to Allah, you must know it's an idol. You give your time. You give your wealth. You're spending money and to go for games. You're giving your precious time to watch. You're changing your ibadat times to fit in with sport. He's a footballer himself. He said, I understand it's become your idol. So I'll just share with you one incident and I'll end on this here. How it affects a person's iman. Allah hates that his enemies be loved. Allah's arsh shakes when evildoers are praised. There are ayat in Quran, too many, I have a whole list here, and there are many more. But we don't have the time to speak about it. لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء لا تتخذوا الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. The one ويحذركم الله نفسه. Allah warns you of himself. فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ. You have nothing to do with Allah if you befriend them and love them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the severest words spoke about it. To the extent that one sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day wearing a cross. Allah's Rasul said, throw this off your body. One man came with a ring made from brass. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I get the stench of an idol coming from brass. Throw this off. Even the ring was a problem. It had connotations with shirk. That is also a problem. Anyway, what I wanted to say, Allah warns us about this. And in this year, I came across one incident. There was a certain player, Alan Shearer. He was famous in our era. Newcastle player, I think, I don't know which team he was. But at that time, he was famous. He was famous also, infamous also. Enough brawls he had outside bars, enough people he fought with, enough people he hit, enough fans he hurt their hearts and he did funny things. There was a person who was his fan. So his wife is writing to a mufti and she says, that my husband loved Alan Shearer. One day we were sitting watching a soccer match. He had his autograph which he managed to buy from somewhere. So it must have been written out, printed, and he bought it. He had his picture on our wall and he used to love him. He even had his biography or autobiography and he used to read it. She said, myself and my husband were sitting. He said, I'm feeling a bit sick. Call the ambulance. She said, ambulance? You're feeling sick? He said, please call them. So she called them. Then he said to her, look after the children when I'm gone. She said, look at you. You'll be back in half an hour's time. You're just going there. The doctors will check you. You'll be back home. As he left the house, she said, he looked at the house as if it was his last look. He left. And he went out from there. And as he came into the ambulance, he passed out. When the doctors saw him, they called the wife and they said, you rather stay by your husband. Cancer has spread through his whole body. It hit his brain. So there's no hope for your husband to live. Now what's left? She stood and stood and stood and stood and waited. Till finally he woke up one day. And then he sat up and he started laughing. And she said it was a very scary laugh. Ha, 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 ha. The doctors ran in. Everyone's wondering, what's happening here? And the man just sat up. And he said, I love Alan Shearer. I am Alan Shearer. Muslim man. And he fell down and he passed away. Their love became an idol in the hearts of Muslims. I warn you, like Allah warns us, be very, very careful. It starts off so simple. Just a game. Any person who gets enjoyment in a game always wants to follow the masters. When we were young and played these games, we loved the masters of these games. We love the international sports players because we wish we could kick like them. We wish we could bat like them and bowl like them. Allah opened up our eyes when we saw Quran and Sunnah, when we saw the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and we realized where we were. Where you went and got yourself? Who were these people? They were nothing to ever. A student comes to madrasa, he studies hadith. He gets love for the masters in the field of hadith. A person wants to master sport. He will definitely love the masters of sport. And this is what Allah warns us in Quran. If you love them, you will be from amongst them. You have no relationship with Allah. But if you make the sacrifice, and you say, for my Allah, I'll give up their love. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. You will never find people who believe in Allah and the final day loving those who oppose Allah and His Rasul. Even if it is your own family members. But if you give it up, you give up the love of your close and beloved ones, no matter how hard it is, the world will be in soccer. And we will be in our little holes. And we will say, I got nothing to do with it. Allah promises us, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. If you make the sacrifice once and enter into that kahf, Allah will write iman in your heart. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. Allah will support you with special help from His side. You never supported the enemies of Allah. Allah will support you. وَيُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Allah will enter them into gardens under which rivers are flowing. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. You were not ready to love them and you didn't want them to love you. Allah will love you and Allah will be happy with you and you will be happy with Allah. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. If you want to be from the army of Allah, you will have to take this imtihan. You will have to say, give up sports, no problem. أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ. If you want to be part of Allah's army, this is the condition. These are the army of Allah. Ala inna hizb Allahi humul muflihun. Listen, the army of Allah will definitely be successful. Shaitan can try how hard. Allah's army is stronger. Every one of us are that army of Allah. Let us make our allegiance with Allah. and break off our allegiance with these players, with their soccer, with their sport, with their entertainment, with the shaitaniyat which they preserve and they promote. And we will see the friendship of Allah entering into our hearts. Allah bless me with tawfiq. Bless us all with tawfiq.